Some passages in the Bible are harder to deal with than other passages. Passages directly related to our real life are especially difficult for a young preacher to preach. If a passage is related to married life, it is hard for the preacher who has been married for only 5 years to bring this message and preach in front of those who have been married for 10, 20, or even more than 40 years. However, I believe that the word should be preached as the word of God. Beyond any influence of culture or experience, the word of God is the only rule of our life and faith. As Peter begins chapter 3, he talks about submission in the family. Today we will look at words to wives, and Lord willing, we will study words to husbands in 2 weeks. But in today's passage, Peter is giving words to wives. I want to look at today's text in 2 ways. Generally, teaching which applies to all Christians, and specifically, teaching which applies to wives in their married life. Wives, be submissive to your own husband. This is our theme for today. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands. As we consider verse 1 and 2, the first point I want to look at with you this afternoon is wives with pure conduct. Wives with pure conduct. Doing good or having pure conduct, the respect conduct, is not a new teaching in Peter's letter. You might remember in 1 Peter 1:15, "You also be holy in all your conduct." And in 1 Peter 2:12, "Have your conduct be honorable among the Gentiles." Peter has continued to urge his recipients to live in this world with pure conduct. This is a teaching that applies to all Christians who live in this world as pilgrims. Again, all Christians like you and me are called to live our lives honorably before unbelievers. Yet, in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Peter is specifically encouraging believing wives to have pure conduct. To begin with, I want to look briefly at the background of the time when Peter wrote his letter. What was the background of these words to the wives? Why did Peter make a remark for the wives to submit themselves to their husband? Because they were living with unbelieving husbands. Verse 1, "Even if some do not obey the word, be submissive to your own husbands." After the death of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and his ascension, the gospel had spread out all around the world. People in Asia Minor also heard the things happening in the land of Judea about those who believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, who lived as Christians. If a whole household came to the Lord like Lydia's family, it would have been a blessing. However, if one family member In this case, a wife came to faith in Christ that could cause domestic troubles. In Roman society, it was the accepted thing that a wife should always have the same religion as her husband. In a culture in which women were viewed as lower than men, the potential for conflict and embarrassment in the marriage of a believer and unbeliever was significant. Believing wives must have faced high levels of difficulty in their home because of their faith. Many husbands could not understand what this new religion their wives believed was, where their wives went every Lord's Day, and what the book was that their wives read. I guess some husbands might have become very hostile to their wives, arguing with them, forbidding them to go outside, and so on. Just as we saw previously in chapter 2, Christians who were living under ungodly government and working with ungodly masters. So we see in chapter 3, wives living with ungodly husbands. Chapter 3 begins with the adverb, likewise. Likewise. Peter insisted that if we Christians are to be a witness for our Lord, we must submit not only to the civil order, but also to the social order that God has designed. Be submissive to ungodly governments and masters. That was in chapter 2. Our submission is not because we fear them, but because we fear the Lord our God. Likewise, for the same reason, wives have been given a role that puts them in submission to their own husbands, even though they are unbelieving. This is the word of God. So they are responsible to submit to their husbands. One pastor says, perhaps there were more women in the churches to which the apostle wrote. From verse 1, we may gather that a number of believing wives had unbelieving husbands, even as it is in contemporary society. You might think of your own family or people around you who have unbelieving family members. Sometimes you might hear about their difficulties and problems at home. Also, many churches in Asia, China, Japan, and Korea, and other mission countries have far more women members than men. Peter's words from today's passage applies to the wives in the first century as well as to the wives in the present age. Be submissive to your own husbands. Therefore, wives, you should show holy conduct at home. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4:9. What you have learned and received and heard, practice these things. Wives can explain their faith, speak of the necessity of Christianity, or study apologetics with their husbands. However, sometimes it can be merely the noisy going noisy gong Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians 13. Wives with too many words could be nagging their husbands while their practice of the word in the form of pure conduct is lacking. Nagging is not the best way for wives to win their unsaved husbands to God, to Christ. But Peter is teaching the believing wives to win their husbands by their respectful and pure conduct. It's not saying that the conduct of wives guarantees the salvation of their husbands, but this is the must-do things as Christian wives. The loving and gracious submission of Christian wives to their husbands could be not only the strongest evangelistic tool, but also the very first step in bringing their husbands to Christ. But this submission of the Christian wives is strictly within the context of the God's law. Submit in everything except for sin. They must not follow evil things nor break God's law to submit to their husband. Therefore, again, pure conduct is the biblical role of a believing woman. In order to have a respectful and pure conduct, there is a spiritual prerequisite. What comes as the core and driving force of pure conduct? Under our second heading, we will find the answer. Our second heading is wives with a meek and quiet spirit. Wives with a meek and quiet spirit. Look at verse 3 and 4 again with me. Do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Here is Peter's comparison. There are two beauties. One is the perishable, and the other is the imperishable. In verse 3, Peter is talking about the beauty of appearance, arranging hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. The Greek word cosmos, which translated outward adornment, is the root of a word we use, cosmetics. Let me ask one question. Does Peter mean that Christian women or all Christians should neglect their appearance? Is he saying that it is always wrong for believers to put money, effort, and time into their outward appearance? Or is he saying that Christian wives should look frumpish? No, I have practiced how to braid my daughter's hair. Also, one day I would like to buy a pretty dress for her as a gift and buy a beautiful piece of jewelry for my wife for our wedding anniversary. One day. One day. So, Peter does not ban Christians from caring their appearance. As we know, the Bible tells us about modest appearance in 1 Timothy 2:9, not with luxurious items. But the greatest, great danger that Peter wants to put before us is that over a woman becoming obsessive about fashion, jewelry, and her outward appearance. While preparing my sermon, I read an article in which the writer mentioned that the snare of beauty idolatry in our culture is blatant. Pursuit of female beauty is at fevered pitch. Natural beauty is not what is expected. Yes, we are living in a world where cosmetic surgery is considered a norm, and Botox is not unusual. There are too many people who focus only on physical beauty and combine that with pornographic and promiscuous cultural pressures. And the culture when Peter wrote his letter was no different than ours. His society was also obsessed with the outward appearance. Thus, Peter instructed believing wives to focus on imperishable and incorruptible beauty rather than on outward beauty, which is temporary, fading with age and illness. The beauty which is imperishable and incorruptible is our heart. Let your adorning be the hidden person of beauty. Peter especially urges us to seek a gentle and quiet spirit. Gentle is actually more accurately translated meek and humble. Especially meek. The Greek word gentle occurred only four times in the New Testament. The King James Bible always uses the English word meek for this Greek word, while the ESV Bible uses both gentle three times and meek only once. From in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's the example of the usage of this word. But the other two passages are about the self-description of Jesus Christ. One of them, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart." Or, "I am meek," Jesus said. This is Christ-like character we should be eager to have. A meek and gentle spirit. And Peter especially exhorts the Christian wives to display this same gentle spirit Jesus had during his earthly ministry in their reaction to their husbands and to life in general. Jerry Bridges, in his book, The Practice of Godliness, gives the definition of meekness as follows. Meekness is a passive trait describing the proper Christian response when others mistreat us. A proper Christian response is asked here in 1 Peter 3 of Christian wives to their unbelieving husband. Along with gentleness or meekness, the character of quietness comes next. My last sermon was about Jesus Christ, who was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is silent, he opened not his mouth. Quietness is another Christ-like trait all Christians should have. And specifically, this quiet spirit is required of the believing wives who have unbelieving husband. Just as Jesus Christ became the peacemaker between God and sinners by being quiet, so you shall become a peacemaker at home by being quiet. Outward beauty will decay, but inward beauty will endure forever. Such character, the gentle and quiet spirit of believing wives, is the true inner beauty that is most precious of all in the sight of God, because Christ has fashioned it in them. And it is effective in making them not only valuable and attractive to their husbands, but also demonstrating the beauty and value of regeneration. Wives, be submissive to your own husbands. To do so, you are asked to become wives with a pure conduct and with a gentle and quiet spirit. And finally, we will look at our third heading: wives with the good example. Wives with a good example. There were certain women in the New Old Testament era who were modest of inner beauty, modesty, and submission to their husband. Peter calls them the holy woman in verse 5. The use of the word holy does not mean that they were perfect, yet we see their relationship with God. Look at three descriptions of these holy women. First, these wives put their hope in God. Wives put their hope in God. No one can be perfectly holy, but anyone can put their hope in God who is most holy. Second, they also adorned themselves. In other words, used to make themselves beautiful. They did not pursue the beauty of appearance like we talked about previously, but instead cultivated the character of meekness and quietness, which is precious in God's sight. And third, they were submissive to their own husbands. One pastor says, Peter bases his advice on a long-standing tradition. And I'd like to add that this long-standing tradition was from God's creation. Why did we say that submission to the civil magistrate and the masters is important? It's because submission is related to authority. We know the order of creation, man and then woman. We know the order doesn't make the two any higher or lower in rank. They are essentially equal on the ontological level. Both are the image bearers of God. Both have dominion and both are blessed. But on the functional or economic level, God put one to lead and one to follow. God gives the federal headship and authority to men in each household. This is related to the husband's authority. Peter is talking about this. And then he gives Sarah as an example of a holy woman. She is the spiritual mother of all Christian women. Just like Abraham is the father of all believers, Peter does not elaborate on how Sarah did her good deeds or how she subdued fear. But the thing we know at least from the text is that she called Abraham Lord or Master. The Bible gives this picture in Genesis 18:12. We read, Sarah left within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. Angels approached Abraham and then announced that his wife would have a son. Abraham doubted. And also Sarah, who called Abraham as Lord, doubted. But then, what happened to Sarah? She became the mother of Isaac, who had been promised by God. She was standing next to the father of all believers and became the mother of all Christian women. We know that using the title Lord or Master would be merely cultural in ancient times. Peter is not asking us to call your husband Master or Lord. If a wife today were to call her husband my Lord and my Master, people might laugh at her. However, what we can see is that Sarah showed her respect, dependence, and submission to Abraham by calling him Lord. And now we want you to look at the Lord with the capital L, who is Jesus Christ. All Christians, especially all believing wives from today's text, should look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Wives, especially those of you who have unbelieving husbands, you should be submissive to your husbands, but you should look upon your Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jesus Christ. There is no reason that you should put your hope in an unbelieving husband, but you must put your hope in the Lord. You must put your hope in the belief that He can bring unbelievers into the place of grace. A word to wives is this: do not hope in unbelieving husband, but hope in Christ. With that hope, be submissive to your husband. In closing, three applications come from today's text. Three applications. First, if you are not a married woman, including all of you girls here, you should pray and prepare to be a virtuous wife submitting to your husband. Cultivate a meek and quiet spirit. If you are a bachelor, including all boys, you should pray to find a wife having this character trait of a meek and quiet spirit. Look forward to the one day when you meet a beautiful woman who especially has this hidden person of beauty. You must have eyes to see this inner beauty. Both boys and girls who are single adults, you should remember the lesson from today's passage that a believing wife living with an unbelieving wife, husband is never pleasant. You should avoid this situation and desire to have a strong Christian family. Second, married couples, you know that physical attraction can't last long. Women, you should be submissive to your husband whether he is godly or not. You might already recognize that your husband is not a perfect man. But you should remember that you are his suitable helper spiritually and physically. Your goal is that you and your family would be precious in the sight of our Lord. Man, you are here in church and at least you know God's word. You should understand that your wife's submission to you is not that you are the best husband or a great leader of your family. You should not rule over her. We all should be humble before Jesus Christ, who is the only leader of our household. Abraham kneeled down before God. We should kneel before our Lord. Third and last, I repeatedly mentioned that it is really sad when one spouse comes to faith, but the other does not. Many troubles, many conflicts, and many tears may come to their home. I saw the tears and difficulties of my own mom, my mother-in-law, and women at the church where I served in Korea. I have prayed for many wives who are struggling with this problem. You also might know wives or husbands facing difficulties with their unbelieving spouses. Or perhaps you might be one of them. We should pray for them, counsel them, and admonish each other. Titus 2:4. The old women admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Wives, we saw the examples of wives with pure conduct, with a meek and quiet spirit. Wives who were good examples for us. This is a word to you. Be submissive to your own husbands. Amen.